with the Word of God in his hands, every human being, wherever his lot in life may be cast, may have such companionship as he shall choose. In its pages, he may hold converse with the noblest and best of the human race, and may listen to the voice of the Eternal as he speaks with men, as he studies and meditates upon the themes into which the angels desire to look. He may have their companionship. He may follow the steps of the heavenly teacher and listen to his words as when he taught on mountain and plain and sea. He may dwell in this world in the atmosphere of heaven, imparting to earth's sorrowing, tempted ones thoughts of hope and longings for holiness, himself drawing closer or coming closer and closer into fellowship with the unseen, like him of old who walked with God, drawing nearer and nearer the threshold of the eternal world until the portal shall open and he shall enter there. He will find himself no stranger. The voices that will greet him are the voices of the holy ones, voices who unseen were on earth his companions, voices that here he learned to distinguish and to love. He who through the word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. Education, page 127, paragraph 1. God is good, and all the time. You may wonder why I give some E.G. White readings before I speak sometimes. I want people excited about the spirit of prophecy. You don't know how much you miss by not reading those writings. Don't go on the internet. Read what this servant of God has written and be blessed. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that. And also, I hope to inspire some young boy, some young girl, to fill the mind with that which builds and saves. Not with the lyrics of songs from Beyonce and Rihanna and whoever else, the Rolling Stones, who are now 80 years old. Not from them. Are you with me? Fill your mind with this. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the writings of Ellen White. Come on, say amen. Amen. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And what fills your mind affects your behavior. You frequently hear of riots at rap concerts, rappers shooting at each other. Have you ever heard of a riot at a classical concert? The quality of the music affects your behavior. Do you see people guzzling beer at a rap classical concert? No. Mm-mm. I don't want to get into that. Let me tell you something. Music affects you at the cellular level. There is no movie worth its salt or its Oscar that does not have music. The music is designed to affect you emotionally. And there's nothing wrong with that if it takes you upward. Anyway, let me leave that alone. It's very nice to see you. I was sitting in the corridors, I usually do meditating quietly, and I thank God for the faithfulness of your attendance. And I know you come because of thus saith the Lord. If I'm right, say amen. Mm-hmm. And those of you online, welcome. I believe you come for the same reason. And may the Lord always fill your hearts with love for his word. You know, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. When the disciples brought food to Christ in John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well and she left to go to her village to bring her friends, they said, Master, eat. Jesus said, I have meat to eat. Ye know not of. The meat was the gospel he was preaching to that woman. This is more important than a burger and fries. Are you following me? It is more important than physical food. The Word of God. There's a church in Uganda, Kampala, the capital city, called Mount Olives. It collapsed, I believe, last night. But I believe the members had left. They had already gone home from the Friday evening service. I believe it was Friday evening. And God, in His mercy, waited until they were all gone and allowed it to collapse. So when I got the news, one of the elders sent me a voice message today. I just knelt down. I thank God for His goodness. He saved lives. Buildings can be repaired. A lost life cannot be replaced. And so when you find the time, just pray for the members in Kampala. The Mount Olives, remember Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, the Mount Olives SDA Church. The church just collapsed. No lives were lost. And so I've tried to focus on the fact that God saved lives and not cry because a building collapsed. Yes, they'll have to find funds to rebuild it if the Lord leads them in that direction, but I am delighted and glad and I praise God for saving life. Can you say amen? Because they are our brothers and sisters. Am I right? Yes. And I have precious friends at that church. I mean, precious to me. If they and I came to the kingdom and St. Peter said, I can only let one of you in, I'd say, Father, let her in. Let him in. That's how special they are to me. So pray for them when you pray tonight or right where you sit. Let's bow our heads now. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. It is boundless. You spared the lives of your people at Mount Olives. We're sorry the building collapsed, but we thank you for sparing those made in your image. Now, Father, help them to recover from the shock, Lord, that they must be feeling. Provide for them, guide them in what they will do with regard to reconstruction or relocation. But, Father, let them never forget that you have saved their lives. Bless your people worldwide, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject for this evening, medication without prescription. What's our subject? Medication without prescription. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 38, a segment of the Sermon on the Mount. Do you have that? Ye have heard that it hath been said, what? An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Keep reading. For whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, finish that verse, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, finish that verse, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, finish the verse, go with him twain. Stop. We have that expression in our modern language, going the extra mile. We also have turning the other cheek. Those expressions came from the Bible. Jesus said, if someone in those days, the Roman soldier, could compel you to carry his baggage 1 mile, Jesus says, if he does that, go two. Go above and beyond the call of duty. That is Christian behavior. A few years ago, a very, very close brother of mine, I was visiting his home on Sunday morning, and he was mowing his lawn. Not a biological brother, a spiritual brother. And he was mowing his lawn. You know, houses are quite close together in cities. And as he was mowing the lawn, he was trying to estimate where his neighbor's lawn began and where his lawn ended, so he wouldn't mow the neighbor's lawn. And I said, come on, man, come on. Mow a little of your neighbor's grass. Don't be so legalistic. And he started laughing. He's a real child of God. But he wanted to be sure. The Bible says, look, go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Go above and beyond. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. We'll read verse 18. And this is not a symbolic verse. Neither were the verses we read in Matthew 5. Romans chapter 12, let's read verse 18, our subject, medication without prescription. Do you have that? Read with me if you have my version. What does it say? If it be possible. Come on. As much as lieth in you. live peaceably with all men. Here's how we translate that verse by our behavior. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with me. That's how we translate that verse, by our behavior. We put the burden on the other person to get along with us. Listen to Jesus, speaking through Paul. If it be possible, which means exhaust every option. Many years ago, a young man came to my office. He was having some marital challenges. And the thought of divorce possibly crossed his mind. As we were sitting there talking, I said to him, as you sit where you sit, can you say to me, I have done everything humanly possible to save this marriage? He looked at me, he said, I don't recall what he said, but sometime later he said to me, it is that question you asked me that saved the union, because I realized I had not done everything possible. They're still together. He's a faithful child of God. Listen to Jesus. By the way, many unions break up simply because we do not obey that advice. Have you done everything possible? You know, half the church wants to use soy milk, the other half wants to fry chicken, and the church breaks up. No one will compromise. Jesus said through Paul, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with your professor who grades your papers late. Live peaceably with your supervisor who seems related to Beelzebub. Live peaceably with your in-laws who try to run your life. If it be possible, commit yourself to your studies and improve your grades. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. And I welcome my young brothers and my young sisters in the audience. God bless you. I was your age many years ago listening to preachers. You have Matthew 10? Let's read verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as what? Sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, you can't get more opposite than sheep and wolves. You understand what I'm saying? So, right, a cat and a mouse. Be therefore what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. To whom was Jesus speaking? To the disciples, not the wolves. You're not with me. I'm talking to myself. We have sheep and we have wolves. You would think Christ would tell the wolves, be nice to the sheep. Christ tells the sheep, find a way to get along with the wolves. If we would apply that in our lives, we would minimize our stresses. But that kind of application requires humility. God found a way to get along with us. Are you with me? He found a way, and that verse applies to God. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, and as much as lay in God, he did it to get along with us. Or that we might get along with him. To heal the broken relationship, he sent Jesus. He could not have gone any further. He didn't send Gabriel, that's not far enough. Because Gabriel's life is not his. Are you with me? The only persons who have life naturally are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Every angel is dependent on God for life. Listen to me. Keep going to the gym, exercise, take your vitamin C. But you're alive by God's grace. He sent Jesus Christ. How far did he go? Christ came all the way down. Became one of us. And ended up on a criminal cross. In order that God might forgive. And bring about reconciliation and salvation. Not just reconciliation, also salvation. Read Romans 6:23 with me. Don't look. The wages of sin. Now, you know it. Say it for me. For the wages of sin? Stop. That's all I need. For the wages of sin is death. And I've told you that before. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Jesus died. He said that. In Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. That's what he told the shocked and surprised John on the Isle of Patmos. I am he that liveth and was dead. You can't go further than death. But Jesus rose. Why did he rise? The wages of sin is not death and resurrection. Think with me. I'm not trying to say anything sensational. The wages of sin is not death and resurrection. It is just death. Everyone who's lost will pay the penalty for sin, but will never be saved. Not only did Christ die to pay the penalty for sin, he rose to provide a way for us to live with him forever. He went above and beyond what was required by the law. The law requires death, not resurrection. Are you following me? Now, why did I say that? I say that to make a connection with Matthew 5:38 to 41. When Jesus told us, through Matthew, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, Jesus has a right to require that of us because that's the way God is. Are you with me? When the Bible says, let us make man in our image, that standard has not changed. God still requires of us to reflect his image. Part of the image of God is going the extra mile. That's why you and I are not dead. Because God goes the extra mile, then he goes another mile. Then he goes another mile. You know, there's some people who know everything, and they'll be lost. You ought to come to church. I know, I know. You really ought to return the tithe. I know, I know. You really ought to leave that relationship because that woman is not your wife. I know, but she can cook. You really ought to stop working on Sabbath. I know, I know. They know everything. And headed for damnation. Why are they still alive? There's a God who keeps going. Come on. Yes, am I? Because he does not want you lost. So here's this man. In 15 years, he's been an alcoholic, drug addict, whatever. And there's an angel watching over him. Now, human beings can't see the angel, so they just spit on the man and walk by. There's an angel watching that man. Here's a woman, she's been a prostitute 25 years. There's an angel preserving her life. Why? Because God still sees there is hope. And so he keeps going. The extra mile. I was in a certain country conducting a meeting like this. A lady came to me, one-on-one counseling. When she sat down, she introduced herself this way. She said, I'm a sex worker. I said, okay. And she proceeded. She business at night, that's what she does. And she said to me, before I go out at night, I kneel down and pray for protection. Now, some well-dressed Pharisee may say, "Ah, but you know, God heard that woman's prayer. He heard that prayer. That's many years ago. I don't know what she's doing now. But I believe He heard those prayers. She would pray, 'Protect me.' Because she told me she was trying to make a living for her children. Now, God does not justify that kind of work. But Jesus did say that prostitutes and publicans go into the kingdom before the Pharisees and the preachers and the... God was protecting that woman because He could see there was hope for a change of life. We serve a God who goes the extra mile. And there's no greater evidence of that than the cross of Calvary. Without that cross, God cannot forgive. And so when we read, well, let me pray again. Father, as I continue, give me the right words to express how gracious You are. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. When we read 1 John 1, verse 9, say it with me, if we confess our sins, come on, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. Let's look at those two words. Faithful means He is reliable. You can count on Him to do it. See this desk? It's fairly strong. I don't know if there's a camera on me. I'll step aside slightly. Faithful and just. This is God. You can just lean on God and He won't move. Are you with me? You just lean how much of your weight? Your full weight on God and He doesn't move. Faithful. Many years ago, I was working in a facility for boys who were placed there by the courts. They were deemed to be incorrigible. And one of the training sessions we had to do, the boys would stand in two lines and link their arms together like their hands. And then someone would stand on a chair backward and just fall back and hope those boys put there by the courts would catch them. I had to do it. And I fell back with some uncertainty, but they caught me. God, you don't have to be uncertain about God. You drop your entire weight on God, He does not budge one inch. And so if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That's reliable, trustworthy. But the other word is, He is just. Now that word has a legal ring to it, which means it is the right thing for God to do. Based on Calvary. Because Jesus paid the price, on the basis of that, God can forgive me. As much as God is love, remove Calvary and God cannot forgive me because God will not disregard His law. The cross of Christ and the resurrection. All that went into Christ being on earth, His hard life, His death, His resurrection, all of that is the basis on which God can do something for you and me. God went beyond, above the call of duty. Now, when He calls us to do the same, He's calling us to behave like Him. If that's clear, say amen. I go beyond and above, you must do the same if you're made in My image. Now, since my greatest expression of going above and beyond is Calvary, that I may forgive you, you must do the same thing. We must be willing to go above and beyond the extra mile to settle differences in the church. There may be someone listening to me somewhere, perhaps not here, who has something against another church member. It has been going on for years. No resolution. But both people come to church every Sabbath, well-dressed, singing in the choir, and counting the offering. But something is wrong. No resolution. No reconciliation. And God says to that person, those persons, I require of you that you do everything in your power to resolve this conflict. Someone has offended you and you have not forgiven that person. When I say you, I'm speaking to everyone listening. Tonight, God is telling you, as I went the extra mile to make forgiveness possible for you, I require of you that you behave like me and go the extra mile to settle that conflict, even though you are the innocent party. God's standards are so high, He requires the innocent party to move first. I'm not surprised the amen was so weak. You see, the carnal nature says, I didn't do wrong, you come. And don't come walking, come crawling. That's the way we are, come crawling. Why did I say medication without prescription? Let's look at a man, what happened to him before he confessed. Let's go to Psalm 32. It's 7:39, going on 7:40, we have 20 minutes, roughly. The sun has set, it set at 6:31, and we thank God for the holy day and the blessings it brought. When I was a little boy, and we observed Sabbath, we'd meet about 15 minutes before sunset to welcome the Sabbath. And then 15 minutes before sunset the next day to say goodbye to the Sabbath. That's how we did it. I just thought I'd throw that in. What book did I say? 32, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Blessed is he whose what? Transgression is given. Blessed is the man and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not what? Iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now David is saying, look, there's a blessedness to having sins taken care of. And refusal to forgive is sin. What the person did to you is sin. Refusal to forgive is sin. So when I stand in my whitewashed self-innocence, thinking I'm right and the person is wrong, not in the eyes of God, refusal to forgive is sin. When I kept silence, verse 3, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. David suffered physically until he confessed his sins. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He suffered physically. My moisture, my life force, is turned into the drought of summer. Sin from within produces physical problems. You know, in the 18th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, there was a feeling that the body and the mind had no connection whatsoever. The body was just a mechanical device to follow the laws of physics. That's it. But thank God, light came to physicians. They realized there's an unbreakable connection between the mind and the body. But we know from inspiration, there's an unbreakable connection between the spirit and the body. And the worst ailment you and I can have is sin. David said, I was sick. Go to Psalm 6. 7:41. Psalm 6. You have that? Let's read from verse 1 of Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, nor chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Read 2 with me now. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Why? For I am weak. O Lord, what? Heal me, for my bones are so vexed. My soul is also so vexed. Physically and mentally, he was suffering because of sin. My bones are so vexed. Let me tell you, on biblical authority, no one is healthy with sins not taken care of. I don't care if your blood pressure is 120 over 80, and your body mass index is where it should be, and your whatever it is, I do not care what the physical numbers are, and if the CDC and the NIH and the AMA pronounce you healthy, the presence of sin makes you sick. Because we must see things through God's eyes. We have a way of telling people to be healthy, follow the 8 laws of health, and I believe in the 8 laws of health, but I want to add one law. Law number one. The number one law for healthful living is confess your sins. Get sin out of the way. Why? All sickness is a result of sin. Whether sin you commit or I, or just living in a sinful world, all sickness is the result of sin. Remove sin and what happens? Sicknesses vanish and death. The number one health law is get sin out of your life. Because sin are slices of death. From within. You can medicate yourself by forgiving somebody. You do not need what? Think of the title. You don't need a prescription. Unless you call the Word of God a prescription. Self-medicate by forgiving someone. Because a refusal to forgive destroys you. It destroys you. It interferes with your relationship with God. It does not allow you to understand, thus said the Lord, as clearly as you otherwise would. A refusal to forgive causes spiritual deterioration. Listen to Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 6. 6:7-44. We have 16 minutes. Matthew chapter, what did I say? 6. Thank you. Let's read 14 and 15. Medication without prescription. Do you have that? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will do what? Also forgive you. Now, is there a condition in that verse? Yes. If you want God to forgive you, finish it for me. Forgive others. I mean, if the occasion requires it, forgive others. And the person you need to forgive may be the person who lies right next to you at night. I hope you understand, I mean spouse. Say amen loudly. Okay, all right. Got to make it right for God's people. If ye forgive men their trespasses, because God is watching, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Because that's the way God is. You see, God forgives people's trespasses. Since we're to live like God, we must forgive. A refusal to forgive is not godly behavior, it is satanic. 3:15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen to me. No unforgiven person can be saved. So by holding on to the grudge and not forgiving, you are escorting yourself to hell. Forgive. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass noise or tinkling cymbal. I'm just noise in the ear of God. But when you forgive, you are music. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. That's what Jesus said. Here you come to church to worship, sitting in the front pew, you look nice, you whatever. And Jesus says, wait a minute, you're putting the cart before the horse. There's an unresolved conflict you should resolve before you come and pretend to bring worship to me. Medicate yourself. How? Give me one word. Forgive. I said earlier, it is possible there's someone listening to me who needs to forgive someone. And you need to make that decision tonight. Don't wait to feel like forgiving. The gospel never requires feeling. The gospel requires action based on the Word of God. That's faith. Bringing all the tithe into the storehouse has nothing to do with how you feel about it. Forgive. We can have these meetings during the second week and have properly arranged and organized and everything. Beautiful music, by the way. I appreciate the music so much. Beautiful music. But there's an underlying poison that will not allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruits God wants. And it may be disagreements need to be settled among the brethren, whether in this building or online. And my message to you tonight, medicate yourself. Forgive someone who has sinned against you and against whom you have held a grudge. Am I saying God doesn't love you? He loves you. That's probably the reason he put this message on my mind. Here's my call. You don't have to raise your hands. I want you to make a decision where you are. That as soon as I leave this building, I will either go on WhatsApp, Twitter, Skype, Snapchat, what's the other one? Instagram, come on, tell me, you know all of them. Who? Email, carrier pigeon, whatever it is. Get in touch with that person who has and say, look, the Spirit of God has touched me powerfully and I need to forgive you. Now, tell the person what the person did and how it affected you. You borrowed $500 2 months ago and then you moved to Alaska. Are you with me? And it put me in severe circumstances. I lost my home, whatever, my wife left me. This is what your action did. But the Lord has touched me because I have sinned. I forgive you. If it be possible, come on. As much as lieth in you, fix the problem with that person who hurt you. I was speaking in England many, many years ago. I was speaking on forgiveness. I was doing a week of prayer. A lady got up and walked out. I didn't notice, you know, in the frenzy of the preaching, I didn't observe she walked out. Several weeks later, an email came to me. When you were preaching, I walked out. I couldn't take it. Because I have something against either half-sister, adopted sister, or something. For years she had this gripe, because when she was a child, I believe the father remarried, and the daughter of the new mother did not treat her well. She thought the father, whatever, she had this thing, and she had this grudge against this stepsister. Carried it for years, going to church every Sunday. But God goes the extra mile, until he finally catches you. And that week of prayer caught her. Oh, even though she walked out, but she said, the Spirit walked out with me. And would not leave me alone. She said, I made attempts to find that stepsister. Finally, I got a number, whatever it was, made contact to talk to her, only to discover she had been trying for years to find me. To apologize. Not only that, but in the process of time, she had become, come on, a Seventh-day Adventist. She said, we cried, we cried, we cried. And the subject heading of that email was, I am free. Medicate yourself. Remove the handcuffs that keep you from being who you really are. Remove the shackles. Forgive someone who's hurt you. Your classmate who laughs at your hair, laughs at your shoe, forgive him or her. I was in another country, it's 8:08, doing a revival on the campus of the university. A young lady came to me for one-to-one counseling. I hate my father. Why? He treats my stepsister better than me. He had remarried, and you know how that goes, step whatever. I said, you can't hate your father. I hate him. And I fail my classes to hurt him. I don't know how that works, you know. You fail your classes to hurt someone. I'm killing myself to hurt him. Okay. I said, you have to forgive your father. No! You have to forgive your father. No. I said, let's pray. We knelt down. I said, you pray first. She wouldn't pray. Call it student. I said, all right, I'll pray and I'll tell you what to say. Say after me, as you do with 3-year-olds, say after me. Dear Father, Father, thank you for life. Mm-hmm. I forgive my father. I forgive my father. Then she started to cry. I had no intention to get off my knees until she said it. I forgive my father. Then she said it. And Niagara Falls came down from her eyes. When I finished the prayer, she left. About 3 weeks later, she wrote me. I want you to know I am a different person altogether. Come on, say something. I'm a different person altogether. Forgiveness heals the forgiver. Medicate yourself. Medication without prescription. Forgive someone and watch your immune system rise and get stronger. Spiritually first. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Because we show love to God by how we treat one another. And so tonight, I am promoting medication without prescription. Improve your health spiritually, mentally, and physically. Forgive. And heal yourself. Whether the person receives you nicely or not is not the point. Forgive. Forget how you feel. Forgive. How many of you will say with me, Father, if ever the occasion arises in my life and I need to forgive someone, give me the divine courage to forgive. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. You online? That call was for you as well. Forgive someone. And lengthen your life. If the message applies to you personally, take action tonight. I'll tell you something else. If it applies to you, and the person is in Greenville or nearby, and you have to go settle it, and you want me to come, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. We have to do that. I'll come with you. I was in another country preaching, and this lady kept coming to the meeting. She had done something wrong to someone, and she felt convicted. She wanted to confess. But the guy was a drinker, she was nervous. So 2 elders and I, we went. We'd come with you, but you have to get it right. So we drove around where all the drunkards go. We found him that night. And he saw us coming with the lady. He wasn't sure what was going on. And she went to him and talked to him. And he was so nice. They forgave. They made up. They hugged. And we thanked him. And we left. And she was clear. On a slightly different occasion, I was in another country and I was counseling one-on-one. This lady was involved romantically with someone not of the church. I said, you have to stop. Apologize to God, then stop. I've been with him so many years. Call him. I'll tell him. She called him. He came to the campground. Shook his hand. How are you? Nice looking fellow. Listen, she has been deceiving you. I put everything on her. She gave you the impression the church approves. It does not. She has misled you. And she has decided she cannot continue misleading you. I compliment you for having good taste, but it can't continue. He said, Pastor, I understand. We shook hands. And he left. And she never went back. 3 years later, she wrote me. She said, I want you to know, I still am. Wash my hands of that. Self-medication. Young lady came to me in another place in New York City somewhere. Pray for my boyfriend. I said, yes, of course. Why? He won't come to church. I said, but why wouldn't a nice, young, vegetarian, Bible-believing young man not come to church? She bowed her head. What did she say? She's not that. I see. I said, well, I'll pray, but here's what I'll say. Lord, give your daughter courage to apologize to that man for misleading him. And she walked away. Has God told you to do what's right? Do it. But for tonight, forgive. By the way, if you have caused offense, what should you do? You've caused the offense, what should you do? Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge of your word, dear God. We thank you that Calvary is proof you love to forgive. And since we're made in your image, you require forgiveness of us. Please, God, we know the carnal nature makes it so difficult to exercise the humility required to forgive those who've offended us. But give us that power, God, to do what is right. Because to forgive is to act like God. And if we've done wrong, let us confess and ask for forgiveness. Dear God, remind everyone under the sound of my voice, you love them personally, and you have a place already waiting for them in the kingdom. Let them do nothing to jeopardize their place in your kingdom. Let the Spirit push them a little harder under the force of love to confess or to forgive. Let's leave this place with this determination, I pray. Watch over us tonight. Bring us back tomorrow to hear the words of Christ. One more evening, in Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Drive safely. We'll see you tomorrow, the Lord willing.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.